Directions on Microsoft recently launched our Atlas AI Assistant. It's meant to help our members answer their Microsoft licensing and technology questions quickly and easily. At its core are the years of research and expertise of our analysts, and they've built this up over many years and many areas. So today, in this episode, we're going to give you a glimpse of how and why we built the Atlas AI Assistant. And we think some of our experiences may be valuable to anyone building AI solutions these days. Thank you so much for joining us on the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm your host for the series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. I have two guests today. Both of them are Directions analysts, Barry Briggs and Andrew Snodgrass. Barry worked at Microsoft for 12 years before joining Directions on Microsoft in 2020. He was the chief technology officer for Microsoft's own IT organization for 5 years and was a fellow at Lotus Development prior to that. Andrew analyzes and writes about Microsoft's data management, business intelligence, and machine learning solutions, as well as all aspects of licensing. And both of them are very involved in working on the Atlas AI Assistant. Okay, gentlemen, let's start by getting some background on how the Atlas AI Assistant came to be. I'm curious, was this a case of everyone's doing AI chatbots, so why can't we? Or is there more to the story? I think Barry should start here.
Thanks, Mary Jo. I guess I'd say that all innovation starts with experimentation, and there was an experiment here, and that experiment was, you know, could I use an LLM? In that case, it was GPT-4 all those years ago, as a front end to the Directions on Microsoft corpus of information, and subsequently using MCP to get to other sources of information about Microsoft. And the answer proved to be a resounding yes. It worked out pretty well. And so, you know, but it all started as an experiment on my own time, kind of as a skunk works. As much to learn how the technology works, how it can be used in useful applications, and how we can advise our customers on how to use it. Mm-hmm. And as we developed the product over time, it became obvious that AI could be really transformative to our business, that we could really, in a sense, reinvent our company around AI. Mm-hmm.
Andy, anything to add? I know Barry was kind of like the mad scientist behind this, but you're part of this too.
You know, I think Barry still is a mad scientist. I don't think it was just a one-off.
I agree.
And he did go off on his own. And it was a time when Barry and I were trying to convince management that this was a thing and that we ought to be pursuing it. And there was great resistance to it at the time. I don't think it's necessarily because it was new and meant to be feared, but I think there was a lot of concern about it. And what we saw from a business side is that a lot of these analyst firms were starting to hurt. We were seeing great reductions in other companies because people were turning to AI for answers, right? And Barry had a very clever idea to say, well, why don't we take advantage of that? And we looked at the way AI was being used and said, you know, it's going out there and it's finding all this information, but the answers it's given is only as good as the content. And that content tend to be pretty much a crapshoot. You know, they was going out to the web and trying to find answers. It was going to Microsoft web pages and learn, and it was trying to, you know, go through the marketing hype and find answers. And it never really came back with anything intelligent. And that's when we realized that we had something that was referred to as modern day gold. And that is, we've got 30 years of protected, curated analysis, all this data that we have behind a paywall. And as being behind a paywall meant that these general AIs couldn't get to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that meant that our customers had something unique. They had this advantage of human analyzed responses and content that isn't available anywhere else. And it suddenly became this thing of, well, if we put an AI on top of that and made it a domain-specific curated environment, then we could give our customers something they couldn't get anywhere else. And so it was a natural fit for us.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious, what kind of tasks have you found the AI assistant is best suited to handle? And I'm also curious, is it meant to complement or replace a search that's already on our site? Andy, you want to start digging
yeah,
in
there. Yeah, so one of the big problems, and Barry and I have been working on this for years, is trying to make search work properly.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't that somebody wants to go search for a piece of content. Sometimes they do. They want to go find a report or a blog or a roadmap, something like that. But more than that, they typically want to have an answer to a question. Mm-hmm. And that's why they go looking for content. And so the AI turned out to be one of these wonderful ways of improving search is we're able to help our users by saying, provide a natural language question. Don't just go search for something, but, you know, ask a question and it will go out through this catalog of data, all this curated stuff that we have on the back end. And then AI does what it does best, right? It takes a look at the question, it finds the relevant content that we have stored there, and then it synthesizes and creates an answer for our users. And so it's, search is still there and people will still use it for the way they've always used it. But now AI helps them answer their questions better than they could do before.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd add too, that the nature of the questions has evolved, right? Because, you know, if you look at the breadth of Microsoft Enterprise offerings, it's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, customers have very detailed questions about, you know, which specific database technology should I use? How do I configure it? You know, how do I upgrade? You know, should I upgrade? You know, what do experts in the area recommend that we should do about a particular technology that they have? Which product should they license and so on? And so it becomes very difficult for them to find the answers to these very pointed, very specific questions. And so that's what AI is really good at. And so the assistant fundamentally is about transforming how users find the information that they need. So as they ask these very pointed questions, they don't want to necessarily read several multi-thousand word reports, knowing that there's a good possibility that the answer that they're looking for isn't in that one, but maybe in the next one that they read and so on. They just want the answer and they don't have time to read that. They want the answer they want now and they want to be productive now.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm curious, Barry, how long did this thing take to build? And did the vision for what it could do and how it could do it change while you were developing it?
You know, one of the great things about software is that it's all about possibility. Right. So you start off with, you know, an idea and it germinates. And as you build something, more and more possibilities open up. And so when you ask how long did it take to build, well, it's not done yet. It'll never be done.
Okay.
You know, we've been at it for, you know, maybe a couple of years at most, maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're just really at the beginning of it. And, you know, the more we work on it, the more ideas we have for its development and for the evolution of our company, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you've been developing it, I'm curious if there were many hiccups or kind of like, oop, we can't do that, wrong way, when you were coming up with Atlas and developing it further.
Yeah, you know, when you're building a proof of concept, it can be seductively easy. And it was in this case, you know, the very first version of this was a simple little application. You asked a question and then came back with an answer. Very straightforward. But building a real enterprise class application is far, far more complex. You know, where it was simply taking a prompt and returning a response, now there's much more sophisticated model, selection model, routing, orchestration, parallelism, MCP. You know, there's actually a lot that goes on under the covers when you ask our assistant a question. You know, you ask, were there wrong turns? Well, there were lots of things that we tried mm-hmm. that may not have proved useful at the time. But in each case, you know, the lessons learned were incredibly valuable. And that's really the nature of what experimentation and innovation is all about.
Sure. All right. As you've been building out the Atlas AI Assistant, I'm curious if there was something you learned or things that you learned that surprised you either in a positive or a negative way. Barry, you want to start there?
Yeah. You know, we talked about the possibilities a moment ago, and I think that, you know, the number of opportunities that AI presents us, continues to surprise me. And I think that's partly because of the energy in the industry around AI. It's nothing like we've ever seen before, frankly. Mm-hmm. And, the amount of innovation that's going on all across the industry and all across the world in AI opens up all sorts of opportunities for us. And that, every day there's something new that continues to, amaze, surprise, and awe, and sometimes scare us. Mm-hmm. And so... That having been said, I would say that this is not simple,
right?
So there's a tremendous amount of complexity to all of this. There's a lot of complexity both in the core technologies of large language models, and frankly in all the pieces that you have to put together, to build a robust Microsoft Enterprise application. This is a Microsoft Enterprise app. It has all the usual challenges of compliance, of security, of performance, and so on. And mastering all that, in addition to building the value proposition that our customers want, turns out to be an incredibly complex task. Mm-hmm.
It really is. And, one of the things off of that, and I think Barry has highlighted this and is dealing with the future on it, is one of the big complexities or one of the big surprises on it was the differences in models and how they're really good at some things and not at others. And so in choosing the design for how your AI should work and what it's supposed to accomplish really requires a deep understanding of what the models are actually capable of and which ones you should be using and how to do version upgrades on those things. This is not a one and done anything anymore. There are version controls or upgrades. There's all the usual software related things that you would expect on some kind of a service that you provide like this.
Okay.
One other thing I'd add on this, and it's kind of a funny story, but Andy's right that it's not clear always what the models are capable of, and sometimes they can return results which are absolutely amazing and jaw-dropping, and sometimes they totally screw it up. For example, we had a customer once asked us, we saw in the logs, a customer asked, what does Microsoft's financial outlook for 2027 look like? And the LLM at that point thought it was a question about Outlook, the product. Mm-hmm. And it went off and described future plans for Outlook, the product. That's one of the things that we had to teach the model that, in fact, you needed to disambiguate the product from the lowercase Outlook.
Yep, I could see that being an issue for sure. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break right now so that I can talk about why you should make it a priority to attend one of our Directions on Microsoft licensing and negotiation boot camps. Our next in-person licensing boot camp is happening really, really soon. It's in Chicago from September 23rd to 25th. If you really, really want to go and you haven't made your reservation yet, you should hurry up. I would say you should send your IT procurement and ITAM leaders to these boot camps so you can learn how to deal with the new Microsoft licensing realities. You'll learn how to control your Azure consumption costs so that you can cut your largest Microsoft cloud spend component, and we'll help you master the strict licensing rules around high-cost products like Copilot and Microsoft 365 add-ons so that you can ensure compliance and maximize your organization's ROI without overbuying. We'll even help you craft a tailored framework for your renewal strategy to secure concessions that help offset lost volume discounts. Like I said, to secure your spot, hurry up if you want to go to Chicago. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com/training. You'll get to talk to our directions licensing experts there, including Andy, who's on the podcast today. And if you cannot make it to Chicago, we still have other virtual boot camps coming up later this year and our next in-person one, which is in Orlando in March 2027. All right, back to Barry, Andy, and our Atlas AI Assistant. Does it have a name? No, it's just called Atlas AI Assistant, right? No cute name for this guy.
That's right. We wanted to. That was funny, though.
Did you?
Well, because it's directions on Microsoft and it's Dom, we thought Dominic would be a great name for it, but
that
no.
Would have been cute. No. 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 Okay. All right. I have lots more questions here. So I know that all of these AI technologies, as Barry mentioned, are evolving almost daily, right? So it must have been and continue to be a real challenge to keep things current. Or is it, Barry?
Well, it is. It's extremely difficult. The field is moving unbelievably fast. It's probably faster than anything I've ever seen in my career, and it's been a long career. you know, it seems like every day there are new models coming out, there are new capabilities, there are new APIs. You know, there are models coming from not just OpenAI and Anthropic, but the open source and open weight models and so on. And so, you know, watching all this happen, you know, and keeping up with it is can be quite challenging.
Yeah.
That said, you know, the pace of development is also has also been tremendously accelerated. You know, as I think everyone knows, we now have AI tools like GitHub Copilot, Claude Code, my personal favorite, and Anti-Gravity to accelerate development. You know, it's been said that, you know, AI is the, you know, the greatest accelerant in productivity in history. And it's true, you know, and it's a two-sided coin because, you know, both the industry and ourselves as developers have seen this, you know, this shift into fourth or fifth or sixth gear.
Right. Definitely. Okay. So how, given that reality, I'm curious how you are prioritizing what features to add next. Any hints on what's next for the assistant, Andy?
Yeah. So I was just thinking about this while Barry was talking. Did you know there's actually a Moore's Law for AI agents that says their productivity doubles every 7 months?
I was going to say 7 minutes. No. Okay.
Well, yeah. I know 7 months. So yeah, it's an interesting place to be right now.
Right.
But you know, as far as our features on it, we're trying to do the right thing. All right. We're listening to our customers, always a novel idea. And we're listening to management at the same time. And based on customer feedback, how the market's moving, where we see opportunities, the obvious ones that we see are bringing in more data sources. To supplement the analysis that our AI assistant does. Right now, it uses all of our curated data. It taps into Microsoft Learn when it needs to, and it does a few other things. We want to be very selective about the data sources that it goes out to, but we want to expand that in an intelligent, controlled way so that we get really good data. If someone asks a question that goes outside of the boundaries of what we would normally cover, we want to still be able to give them an answer, and so we want to tap into the right sources for that. Okay. One of the other big ones and has been a request is adding projects like you have in Claude or in ChatGPT and others is be able to set up an analysis project within our AI assistant, upload some of your documents, maybe a contract, inventory, whatever you have, and then be able to ask questions about Microsoft products and negotiations and everything else and be able to get some good answers back that are very specific to your environment as the customer and be able to give you those things. In the long run, one of the big ones is the idea we've got some large customers who are considering tapping in if we can provide an MCP server on our side so that they can come in and look at our content, be able to ask questions of our environment, but have it delivered through their own UI because a lot of these big customers already have UIs that tap into a lot of their internal data and sources. And so they want to be able to include us in that as well. So those are kind of our big long range items we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd add one other thing, you know, for all of those of you who are listening, there are lots of good ideas out there. And if you have an idea of how you think we should, any features you would like us to see, or like to see in the AI assistant, drop us a line. We're certainly open to it. We'd love to hear from you. You know, but the point of all this is that, you know, this is an incredibly exciting time. It's a transformative time. And, you know, my belief is that Directions on Microsoft is becoming a whole new kind of company, one that can become with AI a trusted partner, a trusted companion to our customers at their side at every second with answers to their detailed, complex questions so that They never feel exposed so that they always have the answers that they need when they need them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that happened on this, I think for the people that are listening in on it, we were trying to take an approach in the company of cutting down and summarizing our reports and making them more consumable and shorter so that people could get in and get the details or the summary from it. But in that, a lot of us felt like we may have been losing some of the deep analysis that we were doing before. With the AI assistant, what we're finding is we're writing longer, more detailed reports again. We're writing deep analysis and bringing all that content into it. And it's all vetted out by us, by the subject matter experts, because people are able to go to the AI assistant and ask a pointed question, and it goes across all those detailed reports and brings them a pointed answer. And so I think what we're actually doing now because of the AI assistant is actually writing more detailed, better content than we had been just recently.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think what's kind of cool about all this is that the AI gives you the amount of detail that you want.
Yeah.
So if you really want to go deep, you can do that. If you just really want a very high level answer to, is this going to cost me a lot of money? Yes, no. If you want a very high level answer to a high level question, you get that too. So you get the amount of detail that you want. You're not force fed 3,000 or 4,000 words at a crack.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Microsoft licensing, as we know all too well here at Directions, is always changing and multifaceted, to be nice about it. There are other words I could use, but I'm not using them today. So I'm curious, does the nature of the subject matter that we cover make building a smart assistant to mine it any more difficult? Andy, what do you say to that?
I say I'm going to start using multifaceted in all the boot camps.
It's a good word, right?
It's not the word I use, so yeah, it's probably a lot better. Does it make it
harder to mine it or
harder to mine it? No, actually. No. So one of the things that's beautiful about the AI assistant and AIs in general is its ability to take complex concepts and summarize them. Okay. And one of the things that we've been doing for more than a decade, probably longer than that, is we did all the hard work, okay? And we built honest, easy to understand licensing entries for all the major products and services in Microsoft. But these licensing entries are long. You know, we're talking some are 2,000, 3,000 words. And sitting down and trying to read through all that can be a little challenging at times. And what the AI assistant does is it's able to see all of those entries, how they link together, see all the dependencies and all the ancillary services and everything that we describe in there, and then present the user with what they need to know or what they're asking about. Okay, so rather than talking about all the aspects of SQL Server and all the variants and dependencies and everything else that goes on in there, if somebody's interested in the database engine, it tells them just about that. And it goes across all the content on it. So as long as we keep all these entries up to date, which we do every month, and we show what's changed over time, then the AI assistant, thanks to Barry's mad scientist activities, it can go along and assimilate all those changes and provide the answers.
Okay, nice. Yeah. All right, I want to close the question for both of you about what our listeners who might be interested in building their own AI assistants could do. Any technologies you say use or avoid, or any other potential gotchas? Barry, you want to start there?
Yeah, I think if you're interested in building your own AI assistant, you should just do it. And the short answer is that you should get started as soon as possible. You should start coding. You should build prototypes, try them out, get feedback. And as you build them, you'll learn about all the possibilities that are available to you and so on. But the only way you're going to do that is by actually getting your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things on that is from an early point, start bringing in users that are not affiliated with the project. Okay, and by that, if you're talking about building an AI solution and it's designed for humans to use natural language to query whatever it is you want to query, then you need to early on, then you need to bring in these people early on so that you can find out the absurdity of the questions that they're going to ask. Because but this is really important, because in that you start to realize the things that you forgot. You forget the guardrails that you need to put in, the controls that you have to have in there that you didn't really think about in the very beginning. And you have to have those in there before you go generally available with it, because otherwise you wind up exposing the company and yourself to problems you don't want to deal with. Mm. There were all kinds of guardrails we placed in this based upon silly questions that people would ask, and we had no idea anybody would ever do that.
I got to test this early on as one of the testers, and I was entering some very absurd questions, as I recall. But I was like, you know what? I just want to see what it says. I mean, just crazy things about conspiracy theories and weird, what's next for Windows, and like just throwing random stuff out there. And, you know, it's good to have people like me who would ask anything, try it out.
Yes.
Barry, anything you want to add there?
Yes, we certainly appreciate all the questions you are asking, Mary Jo, and
I will repeat some of them here. They were very off the wall, but like, you know, you have to try to help with the guardrails. That's my theory. So.
It's really true, because the the models, you know, as they come are essentially built to answer anything that a person might ask. And, you know, one of the things that you do in a domain-specific assistant like we've built is you want to restrict, where you answer the questions, what the expertise that you're providing to the user is. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want to answer questions about conspiracy theories instead of the other thing, because that's just... That might be fine for, you know, ChatGPT or for Gemini or what have you, but it's mm-hmm. not directed to a Microsoft user. That's not the kind of response we want to give to them.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. That was great stuff. And listeners, if you are not already a Directions member, but you'd like to see a demo of this thing we're talking about, the Atlas AI Assistant, you can contact us and we'd be happy to show you. All you have to do is go to directions.com/atlas-ai-assistant-demo. And you just submit the form and we'll get back to you and show you everything you'd like to see. All right. I would like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the Directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. Directions on Microsoft also is on LinkedIn, so make sure you give us a follow there. And follow us on Directions MSFT on X or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky for all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.